When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gigantic. Pop. October 15th, 2024, Gigantic Pop, talking about NXT on the CW. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Matt Morgan. Matt, how's it going out there on Longwood? I know between Helene and Milton, it has not been an easy time in Florida. How are y'all doing?
Good considering. I mean, as good as you're going to do. But, dude, I was expecting this thing to rip up my house. And just be, we had 41 tornadoes, 41 hit our state right as this thing was coming for us the next day. So, I mean, to have a couple trees down, your fence down, your screened in porch down, that was a win for me, honestly.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. A
lot of trees down in major areas and knocked down the power lines. Our company did a good, our company, I always crap on our Duke Energy company, like everybody does. And same with Spectrum for internet. But I got to give them both credit. They were on standby with trucks ready during the storm. You had some of them working in the damn storm, which we've never seen before. And they had electricity up like 15 hours later at the latest in certain cases. That's an amazing turnaround time for the worst hurricane we've ever had.
Yeah, that's insane, man.
We're supposed to have weeks of no electricity. It was supposed to be weeks like it was with Hurricane Charley in 2004.
Wow. Yeah, so that's great. I mean, that's great that you guys weathered it, and glad Longwood's doing okay. And our thoughts are with everyone that was hit hard, especially back-to-back by Helene and Milton. So Matt and I are here tonight to talk about NXT on the CW. I was off last week. How was the match last week with Randy Orton and Javon Evans? Did you watch that?
Like you thought it would be. It was freaking great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man.
You could tell Randy liked working them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Randy, when he's having a good time, I think is the best Randy Orton in this modern day and age.
That's what that match was.
Yeah, that's awesome. Tonight was cool, though, man. They were back at the Performance Center tonight for the first time since their debut on the CW. They were in St. Louis last week, Chicago the week before that. And I love the recap that opened NXT tonight. This felt like a much bigger show, even in that smaller venue.
Very major league. Very major league. My wife even was like, that's NXT?
Yeah.
I was like, yep.
It was big time presentation, man. It was good. So we're going to run this down tonight. We're not going to get super granular about every single segment. I think we want to talk about the things that we love, the things that we dislike. Yeah. I mean, look, the good news about NXT is I feel like it's very rare that they're just in the middle where you're like, well, it was there. It was something. Normally they take big swings and it either hits or it blows up. And sometimes that's more entertaining when it's,
I agree,
just a really bad idea. But I have to admit, not having watched last week, I am shocked that Tony D'Angelo defeated Obafemi and is North American champion again. The recap made it look like a major match, but I like the celebration tonight. I'm kind of surprised they're going back for a rematch again with him and Oba at Halloween Havoc.
There's no way Oba's losing twice, obviously, right?
Yeah.
But unless they're gearing him for the, you know, NXT heavyweight championship, but I don't see how he fits that yet. Not because he's not good enough, because he is. He is the most potential out of anybody down there, in my humble opinion, right now, of what it's going to look like on a main between Raw and SmackDown one day. And that's saying something. There's a lot of great talents there. But, I mean, he ain't losing twice. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Tony D'Angelo very over, especially at the Performance Center. I thought the celebration segment was good.
It was good. I think he's getting really good at that. I haven't watched him in a while, so I did a deep dive on him before the show tonight, and I watched all of his promos, and his promos have improved. His facial expressions have improved by doing less, if that makes sense. He's getting a lot out of less.
No, I agree with that. And Oba, so what do you think about, as a fellow, you know, big guy wrestler, like, what do you think about Oba's style? Because from my perspective, unlike a Braun Strowman or some of these other guys, Oba wrestles a more physical style that doesn't just require on him coming in there, dominating, and being done with a few moves.
True. He can work. He can go. You're right. It depends on what the audience did nowadays appetite is set for, right? Mm-hmm. So I think because what you just said, I'm sure other fans feel very similar. But then there's sometimes when it's a big, they just want to see him annihilate somebody in 5 seconds and call it a day. And then that's it. That's all they want to see.
Yeah.
But it creates problems for that talent later on down the road when they're not very in depth and they can't get longer matches out of him one day when they need him. That's why he's really just bona fide star to me.
Yeah. I mean, exceptionally physical style. I think he can wrestle a long match. I think he's going to do very well on the main roster, but he's not in the mold of what we've seen recently of their giants. And I think that serves him well, but yeah, I don't see him losing again on this rematch. That would make no sense to me. And it's going to be tables, ladders, and scares at Halloween Havoc. That'll be an intense match, a very physical match, but I think Oba is going to reclaim that title.
Yeah, me too.
Then we had Stephanie Vaquer versus Ren Sinclair of the No Quarter Catch Crew. And we were texting during this. I mean, man, like, this was a heck of a match.
Where did that other girl come from? Do we know, like, her background?
Ren Sinclair? I thought she was a collegiate athlete. I mean, look.
She has to be of some sort. It has to be.
Yeah. Let's see.
Her look, her size, her shape, like her musculature. Like, my wife was watching, too. She's like, she had to have played ball somewhere or something, Matt. Come on.
Maybe, although she was on the indie circuit, she was actually on AEW Dark under her shoot name, Maddie Rinkowski. So she did some stuff on the indie scene starting in 2019.
That's an even better story. Good for her then. Because I mean, she's got a little bit more love for the business, came up on the indies. So that move she did you see it when she was like going around in circles? Like, she's really, really athletically talented. I thought that match was very good. I don't know why they're putting Vaquer as a heel first. The fans want to cheer her.
Yeah.
But again, it was a great match. What the hell do you say about this match? This match was really good. It was that good. It was my favorite match of the night, which is saying something.
No, I think that and it's very interesting what they're doing with Stephanie and Julia pairing them together. And then, of course, we've got Delta that's coming in as well. But it's interesting with Stephanie and Julia pairing together, it does take a little bit of that urgency off getting the title off Roxanne. So this idea that they're going to be in a tag match against Roxanne and Cora and Halloween Havoc again, like, that's cool. But I do feel like, I don't know, man. I mean, Stephanie and Julia, I think, are going to tear it up when they get a chance to really chase some gold.
Yeah, against each other?
Yeah, well, eventually, right? I mean, they're going to have to face each other eventually. Everyone's going to have to face each other eventually.
So Vaquer wasn't the heel then tonight?
I don't think they're booking her quite like one. You know what I mean? Like, both her and Julia.
I hope they're not. She had some heel mannerisms tonight that I thought, like, oh, no, they're not booking this girl heel. Come on.
Yeah.
So I hope, I'm glad to hear that.
Catch Crew kind of is a little bit. I mean, I don't think No Quarter Catch Crew's ever been baby faces. I mean, I think No Quarter Catch Crew is kind of annoying.
You like that name?
No, I hate that name.
You said it like 5 times.
I know, the NQCC. It's going to get over. Like, New Catch Republic. Everybody's talking about catch wrestling again, Matt, in the year 2024.
So stupid. It's so corny. Dumb. That is so not mainstream.
Dumb. Yeah, it's something. That's for sure.
Got talent. I just want to say that one more time.
Yes, I agree. But I think that this match was really good tonight. I think Ren Sinclair is actually making me like the No Quarter Catch Crew. Mm-hmm. Finally, I think that and the Heritage Cup, both the Heritage Cup idea and the No Quarter Catch Crew are the most AEW thing on NXT. You know, like, they're very much going for that style, right? Like, people that if you love technical wrestling, you are supposed to love the Heritage Cup and the No Quarter Catch Crew. Yes. But no, I thought this match was really, really good, though. I mean, look, the women's division and NXT is incredible. I think that this just shows the high level that they're performing at right now. And I don't know, you know, and the credit to Ren Sinclair, kind of like what we're talking about. Stephanie Vaquer is a superstar. She's someone that, you know, wrestled Mercedes Moné in AEW. WWE scooped her up, put her in NXT. her and Julia are supposed to be the future of this division, even the future of the women's division in WWE.
Yes.
So for Ren to go toe to toe, Ren, even though she came up on the indies, treated like a rookie in WWE, she held her own tonight. And I think came out looking like $1 million.
She did. She definitely did.
Yeah. So I'm really, really excited to see where this goes, but I absolutely love this match. And, you know, Stephanie getting the win, absolutely the right call. Yes. But then I thought it was interesting with Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade attacking Stephanie after, and then Julia coming out to make the save. So I get it. This is a good feud between them, but without women's tag team titles, it does kind of feel like this is the placeholder, because there's what, like, they're basically, this is all going to end in a fatal four way for Roxanne's title and probably Cora Jade getting pinned.
Cora screams major star too, by the way.
She does. She absolutely does.
Yeah.
And I think her coming back from injury, coming in at this level, has been really, really good for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we have Alexis King versus Oro Mensah in a gentleman's duel. How are you feeling about Alexis King?
I want to like it. I do, because I feel like AEW didn't use him well enough. You know, not a knock on them. I just, you know, they have a very stacked roster with not enough TV time in their defense. So I was happy when he signed with NXT. He's got a great look. He obviously loves this business. I'm just hoping he can continue to make something out of it. I mean, he obviously is doing much better here than he was on AEW. When he comes out, he presents himself like a star. He has that part down.
This is better than the Varsity Blondes. That's
for God, sure. Yes.
Yes. And kind of a bit of a face turn, I think he's undergoing, because he was the asshole heel. Yeah. Like, his character was that he was the D-bag that nobody wanted to be around. But even him, like, raising Oro's hand and this being a gentleman's match, like, I feel like, they're face turning him. And it'll be interesting to see. I still think when he goes to the main roster, though, I don't know on the main roster how don't turn him back to Brian Pillman Jr.
Me either.
Yeah. Although, granted, I mean, with Bron Breakker, he's kept... he's kept his work name, so we'll see. Super chat here from Brett Murphy, $5, saying, "What up, guys? Today's my 33rd birthday." Well, happy birthday to you, Brett. Cheers to you guys. Big fella, hope you're safe from last week's storm. And thanks, Raj, for wasting my $5 shoe mark.
Hey, happy birthday, by the way, Brett.
Yes, very happy birthday. Thank you for the super chat. We appreciate you. And, yeah, man, like, we got some good stuff there. Ricky Sinclair saying he likes the semi-turn for Alexis. Big Time Baxter saying he has a great look, but the crowd just doesn't get excited when he wrestles. I agree with that.
Yes. He's
more of a character than a wrestler.
And
Alicia A saying the face turn, that's why his beard was less dark this time.
Ah, little subtleties. Okay.
Could you imagine that, Matt, where they were like, "You've been a heel, could you... did you get some?" Well, actually, you did have darker hair when you were a heel. Weren't you dying it?
100%, yes. My goatee and the hair on top of my head. I went from, like, Backstreet Boy bangs, I still have them now, bleach blonde. And then they're like, "Well, no, you got to be darker and meaner. So you need to have darker hair. We're going to dye your hair dark, black."
How did that feel the first time you came out and you looked like Wooly Willy with, like, the heavy black?
I thought it was cool, probably, because honestly, as a wrestler, especially like an old school fan wrestler, I bet you King thought of this himself, by the way. As talent are the ones, more times than not, are the ones responsible for what, if I'm heel, I better change my look. I'm heel now, so I better do something. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll darken my hair. Like, it's stupid in retrospect, but we're our own worst enemy with these type of creative ideas sometimes. I bet you that was his idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good one, though, because that beard is so obnoxious.
Over.
Well, yeah,
it is. Over. His beard is more over than he is.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, that level of facial hair, we've never seen that in professional wrestling.
Perfectly tight. Like, no flaws.
Yeah, it's something. It almost looks like, I don't even know how that's real. I think he's just getting a stencil and some Ronco spray and just,
you know. It is. There's definitely stencils. You think it's like Hogan and WO?
Oh, the Just for Men, you know?
No, Hogan would just spray it. Hogan would paint his face. and keep his blonde Fu Manchu, but he'd paint his face. Swear to God.
Yeah, I think he was using just, I remember reading, I think like Rolling Stone or somebody, when they did the article about like Hulk Hogan's on top of the world again, and it was talking about him using like a toothbrush and Just for Men, like, and dyeing his beard.
On his, he didn't have a beard. If you look close, he had a little bit of stubble. He was using, I'm dead serious, some type of dye or paint on his skin. It was so horrible when you think back at it.
Yeah. Oh, no, it is. It absolutely is. I mean, I think about it, like, my beard, I've got gray, and sometimes I'm like, I should dye part of it, but it just seems so silly.
So, okay.
Yeah.
This part of my face, wait, where's my cheeks? How do I get there? My cheek right here, right? Like this part. This is the part that Hogan was painting black, bro. That's what I'm saying. Not the hair. It's crazy.
Oh, I get it. I get it. oh, man. But thinking about bleach highlights and dying hair, it's like 20. When did you stop? I mean, I know you still do your hair a little bit. You style it and whatnot.
Yeah.
When did you like just give up and you're like, okay, I'm not dying it anymore, or I'm not doing extensive stuff? Like, it is what it is. For me, I just call it like, can I shove it to the side? And when I need to, can I put something in my bangs? You know, I just want it simple.
Yeah. I have to dye my hair up top. The gray comes in on my sides.
Yeah. Like Reed Richards.
Just, it comes in there. It doesn't come on top yet for some reason. It will.
Interesting. Oh, I'm going to be silver by 50, dude. Like, I'm getting there.
Well, I'd rather have it or not have it. I don't like the in-between crap.
Yeah, I hear you. So we had, after that, Lola Vice against the returning Nikita Lyons tonight.
She looked good.
And she did, although new finisher, though, she's not doing the splits anymore.
Why? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think when you've had the knee problems that she's had, you really don't want to tempt fate.
I see, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she was out with a knee injury, came back in January, and then got the other knee injured.
Oof.
Yeah. Like, she's got to play it safe. I mean, NXT, look, everybody that's been following me for years knows I think she's an incredible talent, one of a kind wrestler, true standout, got that it factor, can wrestle a very unique style. But it's like, man, you don't get, it's got to be in the back of her mind, right? It's like, you don't get another chance after this if you get injured. If you're out with 2-year-long or 9-month injuries, like third time is the charm in a bad way. It's the third strike. You want to avoid that. So it's got to be weird. I mean, well, think about when you blew your knee out on Tough Enough. It didn't end up being as bad as they thought it was at the time.
Right.
But it's like in WWE, I'm sure it's better now than it was then, but you don't want to get tagged as being
injury prone. No, of course you don't. What did you think of the match, though?
I thought it was good. I understand they wanted to keep Lola looking strong by having the interference and the distraction.
Yeah.
Kind of keep her, give her a loss that didn't count as much. Yeah, with Jada Parker running out to the ring and distracting her. But I knew Nikita was getting the win. I think they had a good escape hatch there for Lola. But I think Nikita's still massively over with the crowd. New finisher worked. The splits thing was cool. One of the coolest finishers I've ever seen. The new one was good. And I think they're,
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
Get everything for your next project at Menards. Tackle tough jobs with Loctite Power Grab. This all-purpose construction adhesive is easy to use and bonds to a variety of materials. Plus, it's high strength, paintable, and reduces the need for clamping with 0-second instant grab. Save big money on Loctite Power Grab at Menards, and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think they're going to give her another opportunity. I just really hope that she's able to wrestle safer style, stay healthy,
and
live up to the potential that we all see in her. You know, I think everybody's rooting for her.
Here's the problem. They have too many good female talents right now.
Way
too many. They're going to need to come up with a women's show. I'm being dead serious. They have too freaking much. Not too many talents, but too many good talents. So how do you decipher, like, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, who gets TV time on a two-hour show on Raw on Netflix or a two-hour show on SmackDown? That's not enough time for as many of them as they have that are really good characters, promos, and in-ring. They've got the whole package. A lot of them, not all of them, but more than I've ever seen at one time on all three levels of Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. So I'm just wondering, what are they going to do with them all?
Yeah.
Find time somehow.
And that's why bringing in Stephanie, Julia, and Delta is kind of not a bad thing, but you already have this embarrassment of riches.
Yes.
Even without them, they've got the best women's roster. Mm-hmm. And so they're bringing in three women at the very top of that roster. Like, it made sense when they brought in Asuka because the four horsewomen, all except Bayley, had been called up to the main roster and there was a void at the top of NXT.
They were still transitioning from the Bellas, for crap's sakes. Yes.
Yeah. So that made sense. But right now, they're like, there's like, it's too much of a good thing almost at a certain point. And what do you do? I mean, so it's like you have the women's speed championship on the main roster now. Well, I mean, there's only so many opportunities.
Their own show. I do think people will watch. I think if they weren't talented, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But because it's WWE, they have big production budgets. They have good, they know how to write good storylines with Hunter. I think they can make it compelling enough where people, I do think, will watch.
I think now that Level Up is in limbo a little bit and is going to get a bit of a revamp, I think Level Up becoming the women's show makes a ton of sense.
But no YouTube crap.
Yeah,
it needs to, like, I could do well on an actual, I'm dead serious, like on a network show or on maybe another Netflix show. Eventually, they're gonna have to. I'm telling you, there's too many.
You know, so former WWE writer Tommy Cassello, like, we tweeted back and forth about this at one point. I hope we tweeted and this was public and not a DM conversation. Well, because he said that when you came into WWE, a lot of times you would end up starting writing for women's storylines. That's where they would start new writers. And so that's where he started, and he did a lot of writing there. But he said because of the success of Total Divas, there was talk internally for a while about, can we do something that's like a mix between Total Divas and a women's wrestling show and have these storylines finish in the ring? But he said there was no way they were able to figure out how to strike that balance.
Really? They couldn't figure that out.
That's what he said. But you remember Total Divas, like, for a while was like the highest rated thing WWE
had. I do. Here's how you do it. It's simple. Yeah. You do the Total Divas the way it was shot. They go to dinner. They do all these things. They show their family life, boyfriends, husbands, all that crap, right? Rolled in one. But you keep the heels and faces semi-apart when filming it. And then you actually show their matches on that on the show.
Yeah.
It ends with each episode with one match.
And they kind of, that was my problem with Total Divas. Like, the reason why I never got into watching it is because you would see a year later, like, oh my God, there's all this drama around this match at SummerSlam. And it's like, that match happened a year ago.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. Seeing the backstory now isn't that interesting.
You got to do it in real time. That would be the difference.
Yeah. But I would love to see a second Evolution pay-per-view. I'm so glad I went to the first one. That was a really one of a kind.
Bro. They need more than that with this many of them.
I know. It's just, it's interesting because even when you look at the quality of it tonight, I will say that it's not that the men's matches were bad, but there was, we've talked about this before. There's something about where it's almost, you know, people use the phrase like toyetic, right? Like Each woman knows how to present herself as a superhero, as an individual character.
All different looking. Everyone.
All different looking. And the men don't have that by and large.
I agree.
You know, if you take that sweatshirt off Andre Chase, you know, it's like.
No offense. He's corny as hell. I know you like him, but he's so corny.
I like Chase U. But yeah, there's something about the toyetic nature and the standout characters of the women on the roster. I think that's
they all
what
have their individual superstar looks, dude. Each one of them.
Yeah.
Like snowflakes.
I was trying to think about it for a while because I was like, what appeals to me most about women's wrestling, I think, is that. I feel like I'm watching superheroes fight one another. Like it unlocked something in me.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, this is just, it feels like I'm like watching a comic book come to life. It's very cool.
It is.
And on NXT, they understand that so well. So good on Nikita. Welcome back. Glad she got the win. And then speaking of Chase Yu, we had Rich Holland beating up Riley Osborne, and he beat him in the ring and then beat him up after while Thea Hale looked on in terror. But then Andre Chase came back and made the save.
You got a big pop. I still don't get it. I'm probably the only one that doesn't get it. I just don't get it.
I mean, when you think about when NXT 2.0 started, like Chase U, the idea that it's like, here we've got this wannabe college, wrestling college. We've got Tony D'Angelo and the Mafia family. Like, it was fun that we were getting these quirky characters again in pro wrestling. Like, it is dumb. But, dude, I've been on a journey with Andre Chase and Chase University these past few years.
Sorry to hear that.
They almost lost the university, Matt, due to his gambling problem. I was hanging out. I went to this thing in Vegas 2 weeks ago, and I met an actress who's now a professional poker player who used to be on soap operas. Like, she was on Days of Our Lives and things like that. And she was trying to explain it to me, and I, you know, like the nuances of soap operas and how like dumb and corny and weird and tangled the stories are. And I'm like, I watch professional wrestling. I understand.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
And we were just able to commiserate over that.
Did you yell and scream when he came out?
I mean, it wasn't really that much of a surprise. He's been gone like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But if they're going to lose the university again, Matt, I'm emotionally invested. I want to make sure he's not gambling again.
See, I can go along with the Tony D'Angelo stuff. I can't, because he does it well. Okay.
Actually, you know what? My favorite part of Chase U, honestly, it's Thea Hale. And I think it's actually been to her detriment, the Chase U thing, because she's been in the women's division. She's wrestled in the women's division. But they, like, more often than not, they treat her like the Chase U mascot, where it's like, no, she's actually a really fun wrestler to watch.
She is.
And they're not giving her opportunities because she's like the kid sister of Chase U.
And she's completely like stuck in this character. It's going to be tough to get her out of it.
And that's the thing with this Ridge Holland bullshit. Like, Ridge is BM Chase U. All Thea Hale needs to do is go and kick him in the nuts and the storyline's over.
Yeah, I'll be there for that. I'd like that.
I mean, that's the perfect ending to this whole thing. And then let's just move on and find something else. So Ashanti the Adonis, who I think is having like kind of a low key sleeper good run here in NXT, took on Brooks Jensen with Shawn Spears. What do you think about Shawn Spears as this like Svengali like mentor and this Brooks Jensen unhinged storyline?
Brooks Jensen, I thought Brooks Jensen is the one that got my attention the most.
Okay.
I think, I mean, I want to see Sean do well, obviously.
Yeah.
He's a friend, but, you know, he's there to help other younger talents learn and get over. That's his job there. So it's perfect for him for what he's doing.
I mean, I think he's doing really well. I think with Brooks, like the whole thing where they had him like kind of quit or be out and then be mad, like that didn't really work.
Time out, use the bathroom, keep going.
Yeah, Matt's going to use the bathroom. I'm going to now spend 5 minutes discussing Brooks Jensen's hair, which potentially the worst haircut in all of professional wrestling. In fact, chat room, I challenge you, who has a worse hairstyle? And I know like I should talk, right? But who has worse hair in professional wrestling than Brooks Jensen? What say you, gigantic pop chat room? Because I look at it and it reminds me of like a teenage boy that hangs out behind the 7-Eleven wearing a denim vest. You know, he had a jean jacket, but somehow he burned the sleeves off and he wants to sell you illegal fireworks. And you probably wouldn't trust him around animals or with a lighter. But yeah, I mean, the dude just has this burnout Hesher look that I have never really seen captured in the world of professional wrestling quite the way that Brooks Jensen has, to the point where I almost want to commend it a little bit.
I agree. He does have that look.
I mean, but it's amazing how much he has that look. He looks like an animated character. Like this is the guy they thought was like too like unbelievable for Beavis and Butthead. They were like, no one's going to believe someone really looks like this. But good on him that this is working, because with him and Josh Briggs, everyone was like, oh, Josh Briggs is going to be a superstar. Brooks Jensen is the one getting the push now.
Yeah, I wouldn't have predicted that originally.
Yeah.
So good on him.
So the main event tonight was Javon Evans versus Wesley versus Ethan Page, triple threat number one contenders match. And I feel like Javon Evans had so many 2 9-second, 9/10 of a second pin counts here.
He did.
It was crazy. But I got to say, man, like these three tore it up. But that ending, the way that they choreographed it for perfect. Ethan Page to steal the win was amazing.
It really was. They definitely practiced. I'm not taking anything away from them. They definitely rehearsed that and went through it. And you have to. I would have, too, if that was an end of my match, because it's so complicated to come out of it the way they did and have them be folded up like that for the pin. It was really perfectly well done.
Yeah. It was a cool ending. The match was kind of like, okay, Javon's not going to win with all these near falls. But what do you think about Ego versus Trick again for Halloween Havoc?
It's a good question, because Trick is somebody. Ego is somebody you have to put in that main event heel slot, because he gets just such an insane amount of heat on him. Like, people legitimately love to hate him, and he knows how to play it, right? I don't know if they have other talents that are at that level yet on the microphone. Of legitimately not memorizing lines, but legitimately, you know, feeling the crowd and taking things away from them the way Ethan Page is so masterful at doing. He's so great at taking things away from them. When they start cheering him, he pulls a carpet right from underneath them, so you stop chanting them. The others aren't there yet in the mic yet. They're not supposed to. They're still so new. But I don't know what to do with this if I'm them. I really don't. Yeah. Trick can't keep beating Trick either. Cannot. So
yeah,
I'm gonna say Trick beats him again, maybe.
I think Trick retains. I think Trick versus Wesley would be really interesting. Wes would be someone, although Oba's the one to drop it to if Trick is getting called up.
Yes, that's the next thing. Yes, I agree.
You know, Oba in theory should be the most dominant NXT champion on the men's side that we've ever had.
No question. Yes.
Yeah. What's the record? I feel like Finn held it for
no idea
a while. Let's look at this. Maybe was it
not Joe? Joe didn't.
Let's see. Champion reign. Let's look at this. Adam Cole, 396 days.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
That's when I kind of started drifting away from it a little bit.
Dude, do you remember when we had to watch NXT and AEW at the same time because Raj was too cheap to do two different podcasts?
Yes. Yes. I do. Like, and that's when I really liked AEW. So like, I'd honestly cheat, just keep it on AEW. And then when you guys would talk about NXT, I'd kind of like back away.
I would have like my tablet and the TV, and then I would switch sometimes.
I'd only do it for the major matches for NXT, yeah. But I wasn't a huge, huge NXT guy then.
Yeah. No, I get it. But man, it's so good. I mean, this was good tonight. So, Big Time Baxter asking, what do we think of the pacing of the show versus USA? Because there's more commercials, no picture in picture, no overruns. I mean, this felt like, looking at the rundown, I'm like, man, this was a very concise wrestling show.
It was, and there was a lot, and there was perfect amount of backstage stuff, of storylines moving forward as well with the backstage promos or pre-tapes. I liked all of it. Hey, before the show started,
yeah,
who was that Elba Fire? That who's the person who walked up to NXT sign and made a catch on
fire? Delta, the Australian wrestler.
That was pretty sweet. That was dope.
Yeah. So she's debuting soon. Man, you're right. They need a women's show. There's too much talent.
Way too much. Point. And they're all good. If they suck, that would be one thing. I wouldn't be saying this.
Yeah.
And but dude, I want to have all like 5,000 people I want to see wrestle Charlotte Flair right now. Or Becky. Or I really do.
Well, this is the thing. It's like I was gonna say NXT right now feels the most concise that it's felt since they were streaming on the network. Like this is the tightest show they've put on since they've gone to broadcast TV.
It was, I mean, I've liked all last three episodes of what they put on CW so far.
No, it's really good. Oh, that's interesting. Big Time Baxter saying when they did the replay of NXT on CW, they aired Women of Wrestling after, which I forget is still a thing. I watched that over the summer, like two episodes.
The Women of Wrestling? Wow.
Yeah, the one, the Glow. Yeah.
How do I get that? I don't get that.
It's syndicated. You just have to look where it's on. Like, look on your TiVo or your DVR. Just like, it's typically on a weird times.
It's on CW?
It's syndicated. So it could be on CW. It could be on.
Okay.
I was going to say UPN because that's how old I am.
April. Doesn't AJ, isn't she a part of that or no?
Is she?
Like a writer or a producer or.
Oh, maybe she is.
They made a big announcement a long time ago, like when Punk came out to AEW, that she was going to WOW to help them do something. Not wrestle herself, but produce or write.
Oh, she was, and then she left.
Dope. Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. So it happened, which is good because I don't know about you. Sometimes I say, didn't this happen? And then I'm like, no, Glenn, you totally imagined that.
So at least I imagine it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was NXT tonight, guys. Thank you everyone for joining us. We're gonna try and keep this up every Tuesday in addition to our other stuff. And Matt, I love that you're watching NXT again. I know I feel like I've been telling you
for the
longest time.
You have, man.
It's my favorite show. And I will say this though, this week I really felt the absence of TNA on NXT.
Ooh, that's a very good point. I feel bad saying it. I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Even though I love it that they're there, you know, but again, that's how much damn good talents they have right now.
Well, it was when they said to Wesley, like, oh yeah, since, you know, those other guys stopped coming around, and it was just like, oh man, this is what, like, it's been like 3 weeks.
I know. You know? Is it done? They're never coming back?
I don't know. I mean, Joe Hendry, there's talk. People are speculating he's going to be in the Rumble. Jordynne Grace, as you broke on this podcast, her contract is coming up soon.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't think we've seen the last of them on NXT.
I'm praying they both leave. No, I love TNA. It's my former home. I just want them to make more money and become bigger stars. They got to go there to do it.
And Motor City Machine Guns are debuting on SmackDown this Friday.
Oh, I did not know that. Yes. Okay. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
That'd be cool.
I really am.
Cool, man. Well, I'll see you back here with Raj Geary if he's, you know, back home from traipsing around the world, jet setting. But this Thursday, gigantic pop. Everyone, please like, share, subscribe, leave a comment. We want to keep doing this NXT stuff. Please let us know if you dig it, what you want to see more of, and we'll catch you back here next time on Gigantic Pop. Take care.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.